John chapter 17, verse 20, Bible says, my prayer, this is Jesus praying before he heads to Gethsemane. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That is for us. Our Lord prays for us that all of them may be one, Father. May that just as you are in me and I am in you. And that is what Paul, Pastor Paul, had just mentioned in the offering. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And I have given them glory, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. That's a big prayer. Amen? 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 Amen. Thank you for that. he says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory and the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself might be in them. Lord, I come to you this morning knowing that you are good and mighty and awesome and that you come and that you meet us here and that you transform us by the power of your Spirit, that you would meet us here this morning, Lord. Guide us into truth, that we might experience your kingdom in us, that you would use us to reach those around us, that you can receive glory, and we can see it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. The key to the kingdom of God. How many want to know the key to the kingdom of God? You, Sally, really? Thank you. All right. I have the key to the kingdom right up here on this stage. I'll put it in front of the pulpit so that you can see it on that side. Now, if I asked you, before I brought this up, I can't imagine any of you picking a rug doctor as the key to the kingdom of God. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. I can't imagine that in the front of your Bibles, rug doctor is written. Key to the kingdom, rug doctor. But love is the key to the kingdom. Amen? And the kind of love that John has been talking about in this, in his first epistle, and the kind of love that God talks about in the Gospel of John is agape love or sacrificial love. Do you get where I'm going at all? You see, Saturday morning, my wife started mentioning the fact that the carpets need to be clean. And she was not real pleased about that fact. And she was kind of making it known. And I'm studying this message since Wednesday on love and loving the Lord. And the Lord gives people around us that we can love them to show that we love him. Are you tracking with me, right? Now, the love is a sacrificial love. And so, oh, man. Ah, there we go. So I got to have the logo out. There we go. Rug doctor right there. This is sacrificial love right here, folks. I came to the church. We have this. If you want to exhibit sacrificial love in your home, you can use this key in your home to display your love for your wife. And I did that yesterday. And and Ann is looking right at Pastor Paul. That key, that's the key to the kingdom right there. We have the key, the kingdom of God in our home. And so Lisa took JJ to a sports luncheon at the end of the basketball season. I'm thinking, agape love on display. And I grabbed that thing and I came over here and I got some spray on spot remover stuff, and I'm not really trained in this, and so I like spray it and I kind of rub it in and rub this one in and do all this, and it didn't really look like it was making a difference. And so I got the sprayer, like you spray weeds with, and I put some detergent in there. It said I could do that on Google. And so then I sprayed all the carpet, and I'm thinking, man, it needs to be rubbed in. And so I get the vacuum, and I'm vacuuming. I'm not really trying. I vacuumed it before I started, but I'm trying to just rub in that detergent into the carpet. And then it said, don't use any detergent in the kingdom. What you use is white vinegar, and you pour in some amount. I just kind of guessed. And I had boiling water, poured it in there, and then I just started pulling up all that stuff. And it worked. Not only is the carpet clean, but my wife felt loved. What John is telling us, and what Jesus said, he said, I pray that they can be one. And as John writes in the first John, first letter, first epistle of John, that the way we become one is through agape love, sacrificial love. And that as that happens, the key goes into the lock in heaven, and the power of the kingdom comes out through us. And that is why this is the key to the kingdom. Because it is an opportunity for sacrificial love. Amen? Amen? God's love on display is what we've been talking about this month. Agape, the key to the kingdom. And God's love on display is one of the values of our church. I wrote down the four primary values of our church. We display God's love, we depend on God, we develop people, and we desire God's presence. Those are the four things that we want you to experience as you come to this church. And as we display God's love, that kingdom power, that we become a resource of the kingdom of God to reach the people around us. He said, may they be in us as I am in you and you are in me, so that what? So that the world may know. And it is a witness and it is a testimony to this community as we begin to serve one another. Amen. Thank you for that, Ann. Keys to the kingdom. Agape is the key. Title of today's message is Living in Love. We'll take a look at that. First thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that, and we've basically spent this month going through 1 John, or most of 1 John. We skipped a couple of parts. But that this whole love thing is a work that God does in us. We come to the process without love, okay? And God changes us, and God changes everything. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, we'll go through pretty much the end of chapter 5 today. Let's skip a little chunk. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. That's the prayer of Jesus, right? May they be one in us, just as you are in me and I am in you, right? And so John says this is how we can know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And so as we sacrifice, as we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in us. And that was always the plan. That was always God's desire. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 7. Very truly I tell you, it is for your good. He says, I'm going away. They say, wait. You can't leave us alone. And he says, no, this is the plan. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come. And as he says, that we know we live in him because why? Because We have the Spirit. And so if we had not the Spirit, there would not be that dynamic unity between us and God. There would be no opportunity for God to resource us to reach City Heights for Him. So He says, it's good. I'm going to come and live in you. I'm going to transform your very existence so that you can know that I am close. Presence of the Holy Spirit verifies our connection with the kingdom of God. Jesus came and walked this earth that we could be transformed in our understanding of the supernatural plan and power of God. You sit here today, even if you're sleeping, a couple of you snapped your head up, God's working a plan in you. As much as you struggle with the world, as much as you struggle with yourself, God is working a plan out, and it has to do with the presence of the Holy Spirit. We see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happen on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. He's talking about 120 believers that were living with a focus on God, with a desire for God, and they were all together in one place. They were praying. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. John says, Bible tells us, that as we exercise faith, which is a gift from God in itself, in the fact that Jesus came from the Father to save us, we are transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. We are transformed because we are beings made in three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence up with our spirit and begins to transform us from the inside. And so we have a new entity, a foreign person that comes to live in us, that gives us the ability to choose to do right, that gives us the ability to be holy, that gives us the ability to love in a sacrificial way, because the world has no desire for sacrificial love. The world desires to be served. Serve me. And the message that Jesus came that I could be saved was never on my mind. Any of you think about being saved before you got saved? Last thing I wanted to hear about was Jesus. I wanted to hear about me. I wanted to get the stuff that I wanted to do. Amen? And then when God comes and begins this work in your life and begins to break open the plan of the kingdom in your life, and you receive the truth that Jesus came to save you, and you accept that, exercise faith in it, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you, and you are changed. You are given the ability to love. That love comes from God, and that love is the key to the kingdom. Amen? All right. Our testimony comes from God. And we have seen, talk about who we is in a second, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. This is the message. Our testimony, our message comes from God, that His Son has come to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And that's what Jesus was talking about. May they be one, as I am in you, or in you or in me, may they be us, in us, right? And so here is this thing, as we confess that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, there is a unity, there is this mutual abiding that we begin to live in God, and God begins to live in us, and we are entirely transformed. Amen. That's a complex concept. Amen? He and us and Him, we together, all that stuff. Okay, like kumbaya with God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. It is the Holy Spirit residing in you that gives you this message. Jesus Christ came to save you. Jesus Christ came to save the world. When we come to the Lord, we begin to live in community with God. And it is in that community that we find the power of the kingdom. The key to the kingdom is love. Amen. I told him, baby. Key to the kingdom. You can ask her about it later. I talk about Pentecost. And it was the days leading up to Pentecost. It would be 10 days. As Jesus walked the earth for 40 days. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover when Jesus was crucified. He was raised on the third day. So 7 to 10 days. They were alone. Jesus has ascended and they are waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what they did while they were waiting, Bible tells us, Luke writes in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Amen. There was a unity that came, a unity of focus. And he says, Jesus says, may they all be one, that they could be in me in the same way that I am in you. And so, as we talk about agape being the key to the kingdom, it is agape that gives us the ability to love one another, that we can find unity and be a witness to the world of the kingdom of God. Amen? This is thick. Can I get a witness on that? You say, man, that's thick. I got a lot of text today because this is thick. God lives in us and we live in God. And we come to rely. How many of you rely on the presence of God in your life on a daily basis? I cannot imagine living apart from God. There is power, there's provision, there's guidance, and there is direction. And I relish that. And John says, we have come to live with a reliance upon the presence of God. John chapter 15, verse 5. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, right? Remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so that abiding comes as we form community, as we find unity, and the Lord says, whoa, I can work through that, and begins to move through us. Bible says the kingdom of God is where? Is among you. Not within you, but among you all. As you come to unity, you make a display, or I am able to display the kingdom through you. Make sense? Brought the rug doctor, Key, back yesterday afternoon. And as I pulled into the parking lot, 12 wonderful teenage boys came running to me. Pastor Bob, can we play in the parking lot? They were playing football. And I'm like, well, why don't you play on the grass? You know, asphalt. And they said, no, we can do trick shots. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I think we can do that. And they're all happy and excited. And Mike walks up. And he'd been working, he'd been pouring some concrete out here, trying to make us watertight and stuff like that. And he says, I just kicked him out. I'm like, guys. He says, well, the gate was open, they were in there, but they were being fools. I said, guys, what's up? I need you to respect this place, respect God's house, clean it up, pick up, take care of the place. And I'm trying to reach them with kindness. Amen? Amen? But John says it's not kindness that's going to win them. It's unity. It's not, it's love within the body. Not necessarily even love that reaches out to them. Love within the body brings unity in which God does a miraculous thing and moves through that unity to manifest the kingdom within us. And those boys see that and go, whoa, we want that. You get one amen on that. It makes you think, doesn't it? May they be one, just as we are one. You in me and I in you, so that what? So that the world may know. And as those boys see the kingdom of God manifest within this community, there will be an irresistible draw that they would come to desire that kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. Think about it. It's complex. All right, looking forward to the end. John starts talking about judgment. Judgment's not a good thing. Can I get a witness on that? All right. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. This is how love is made complete among us. In this world, we are like Jesus. This is how love is made complete in us. We are like Jesus. We don't have to worry about judgment day. Can I get a witness on that? God gives us confidence. He says, you're going to go out there and you're going to witness the kingdom of God. You're going to manifest the kingdom of God. You're not going to do it in fear. You're not going to do it with hesitation. You're going to do it with boldness. Writer of Hebrews says, let us boldly come into the most holy place so that we can have our hearts sprinkled. Amen? And so we can be, amen? Sorry, I know Natty's probably trying to catch up, get on a little roll there. Judgment is real. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. That lake of fire is made for the devil and his angels. All those who reject the message of the Son are also thrown into the lake of fire. Matthew 25, verse 41. Judgment is one of the reasons that the world rejects the message of the cross. We were talking about overcoming the world. We talked about that last week. The world wants nothing to do with judgment. The world wants to hear nothing about sin. They want to hear nothing about a standard that they would be held to. And because they don't want to hear about judgment, they don't want to hear about sin or a standard, they definitely don't want to hear about a Savior. And as we come to an awareness that is the gift of God, that we need a Savior, a whole new message is birthed in us. And it comes from knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? God gives us confidence. God gives us a message. God gives us a display so that we can move through this life not worried about judgment day. I'm on God's team. I'm part of the crew. I'm part of the plan. I'm not worried about judgment day. I'm trying to move ahead in the kingdom of God. Amen? Man, we are trying to push back. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Amen. We are pushing back the darkness. I'm not worried about judgment. That's the last thing on my mind. That's why the world rejects the church. Because they want to be the king of their line. We want to be a witness. We want to have a message. John chapter 17. This is what I've been talking about. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. Amen? That all of them may be one. That every person in this room, to that person next to me, say, you are the kingdom, to the key to the kingdom of God. See, you're that person. You're Sally. Find somebody next to you. Come on. See, we get the opportunity to serve sacrificially the people around us as a display of our love of God. If you live alone, you have no way to display it, no way to manifest it, and no way for God to notice and say, right there, there's some unity going on there. I'm going to do something. Love is the key. Yeah, Benny. Let's keep going. Confidence takes away fear. There is no fear in love. Amen? You're not inherited a spirit of fear. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. The presence of love in your life, sacrificial love, is a confirmation of your relationship with God. Because you come to the program, you have no love. You'll trade love. You'll give to get. You'll make deals in love. But you won't just serve. You won't just surrender. Because the only place you get that is from God. He starts the plan. He puts you in process. He gives you the opportunity to love him because he wants the opportunity to love you. Amen? God works through love. And because we live in love, we don't have to worry about judgment. I'm confident. I love God. He's not going to do anything. Now, he'll discipline you. Discipline's a whole lot different than judgment. Can I get a witness on that? He will guide and direct you. He'll bring correction. He'll do all that stuff. And because you love him, sacrificial love. Easy to be on track with God. Acts 2, 42 through 44. Talk about unity. Talk about the manifestation of the kingdom. We read about that in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit came. But more than that, they exhibited unity. They devoted themselves. This is 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost through the outflowing of the Holy Spirit. And those 3,000 people, along with 120 that were already in the upper room, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Does that sound like unity? What about the Chargers game? They were too busy. Everyone was filled with awe. Everybody say awe? Awe. I mean, like, whoa! At the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, all the believers were together and had everything in common. It is the unity that manifests the kingdom power to reach Jerusalem. The unity in the church. Unity comes from love. Love is the key to the kingdom. Amen? Are you tracking with me? I'm just trying to see how fast I got to go here. Oh, sorry. Boys are coming in. They've talked to Mike. Mike and the boys made up. So, you know, it's like they're going to take care, pick up their trash, and do all this kind of stuff. And the ice cream man drives up. And they know his name. I can't remember the guy's name, but they're yelling at him, Francisco, Francisco. And I say the words that every child wants to hear. I have free ice cream. And they spin around, leaving Francisco in the dirt. And they come running in, shouting my praises. And I get, it's actually popsicles. It's like, it was about that big, and they're red. What do you call those things? Big sticks. Okay, there we go. Yeah. They were just popsicles when I was a kid. But anyway, big sticks. We got big sticks. And I'm passing them out. And the one of the kids that showed up this morning, he goes, "Oh, mine is broken." And I'm like, "Oh, well." But then, through this work of the Holy Spirit in me, I give him a second big stick. And immediately, the other loving 12-year-old boys begin to say, "What? How come he got two? How come he got two?" And they're going over there, and so, bing. Talk about the message, right? And I pull out another big stick. And I hold it up, and I said, "Who knows what grace is?" Hands go up. Another free ice cream, right? And they start, "Oh, it's love, it's this, it's this, it's this." And one kid says, "It's kindness." And I go, "Well, you're closest." And I hand it to the kid. And I said, "Grace is unmerited favor. I gave him a second ice cream, not because he did anything. I just wanted to. Now, who can tell me why Jesus came?" Hands are going up. They're thinking ice cream's going out. I said, "It's grace. Unmerited favor for you. Jesus came from heaven." Exactly what he said in that. "Jesus came from heaven to save you. That's grace. And that's a message that comes from heaven. That if we get unity, would blow this community up for Christ." Amen? Amen. You know what? I've been studying. I've been studying attributes of or characteristics of these kids that are like 7th, 8th, 9th grade, 10th grade. And they don't want to be alone or away from the crowd. They don't want to stand out. They just want to blend in. Peer pressure, right? I'm believing that we're going to see entire peer groups come to the Lord in one mighty act of God. All 12 of those boys all come at the same time, all receive Christ at the same time. Amen? Amen? All right, no extra charge on that one. All right, here we go. Let's move on. Love gives victory. How many people want victory? Love is the key, man. Love is the key. Everyone who believes, oh, this is so good. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Talking about being born again. Amen. Cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. How many of you are a child of God? Talks about you right here. This is how we know we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, keeping his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God. Obedience is key. Love makes obedience easy. Love makes cleaning that rug easy. And also surprise. How many of you guys like to surprise your wives, right? I want to let you know, some of the stuff that I do is a surprise for my wife. No survey. Does not work. She's like... See, all these ladies, they know what I'm talking about. Men, this bad boy right here will always work for you. Yes. Right, ladies?
Amen.
Amen. Women love a man who can run a rug, doctor. All right. Okay, let's just come on back. All right, here we go. See, you weren't here before. You weren't laughing so hard. Okay, here we go. God gives us the ability to love him, and he gives us the ability to love those around us, right? He gives us opportunity. Go to his church for a little while. Yeah, you got opportunity to sacrificially love somebody around you. Can I get a witness on that? And as you do that, as you make that sacrifice, it draws you together. And as we all do that, we come to unity and the kingdom of God is manifest among us. God lives in us and we live in God. And as that occurs, we begin to love the people around us. And we begin to live to please him and become obedient to his command. Love makes obedience easy. And in all this, there's a unity that develops. Back to this verse we've been reading. May they also be in us so that the world may believe. So that those 12 boys can believe that you have sent me. And as soon as that happens, they are born of God. Amen? Yeah. That's so good. Holy Spirit moving miraculously in the church to reach the world. Reach this community. Reach this neighborhood. Love is the key to the kingdom. All right, one last thing as we leave 1 John, moving to the end, towards the middle of end of 1 John chapter 5. I write these things to you, believe in the name of the Son of God, who have the message, who have the witness, who are born again for all this stuff, so that you might know that you have eternal life. We've been talking about many ways that you can know you have eternal life. This is confident. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You ever think your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling? You have confidence. We ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Answered prayer. It's confirmation that the Spirit lives in you. Believe in the name of the Son. Ask according to his will. You can ask for anything and you'll get it. Do you have answered prayer in your life? You see God moving on your behalf. You see the power of the kingdom released around you. You have an expectation for the power of the kingdom to be released in your life as a testimony, as a witness. Because the answer for some is no, I don't have that. And I want to talk about maybe three reasons why your prayers might not be answered. And the first one, the obvious one, is that you're not a believer in Christ. That you have not exhibited faith in his name, that you have not been transformed, that the Holy Spirit does not come and live in you. Second one, you are not asking according to his will. You might be asking according to your will. Third reason you might not have answered prayer in your life is you're not praying. You're not asking. The Bible says, make our prayers and supplications be made known to him. Amen? Amen? See, God is not up there hoping City Heights Assembly can't get their act together. You're going, man, you know, sure hope City Heights Assembly can't get it together. I really don't want to get up today. He is up in heaven. He is going, let's go, City Heights Assembly. I have a witness that would go out through you and transform your families, your community, your schools, your jobs, if you would but love one another. John chapter 14, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. See, the church is to do the works of Jesus. He says that this is how we can know that we are Jesus in the world. Amen? And Jesus says, the church will do the works that I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And so as we read in the book of Acts, And we see the house being shaken where they're praying. And we see jail doors blasted open because of the power and the presence of God. And we see that handkerchiefs going out from Peter causing people to be healed. And the shadows of the apostles, people would be healed. Just by the... It's not from the apostles. It is from the unity of the community as they love one another that the kingdom is manifest. The body of Christ. And you know what? We just don't see it today. You know them, a lot of the New Testament churches, you know, all the letters were written. There was no miracles, not many miracles going on there because they had such disunity. And the letters are written that they might have unity, that they might have power and have a witness. You know, love is the key. Love is the key for the power of the kingdom to flow through. Love is not the target. Love is the key that lines us up on the kingdom and allows the kingdom to flow through in our lives. Does that make sense? And so, at least you can come up. I'm a Summers of God minister. I'm a Pentecostal. And I want to see miraculous signs and wonders. I want to see people healed to the glory of God. I want to see miraculous provision being made in believers' lives. And so obviously, Lord, I'm believing you for that. I am believing you for that, Lord. Lord, do miracles among us. And he says, I gave you the key. Love one another. So instead of chasing after miracles, we chase after love. Instead of chasing after miraculous signs and wonders, we chase after sacrifice. He says, you sacrifice your life to those around you. You love those unlovable people around you, and the kingdom of God will come blasting through that place. He says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Don't go chasing after fruit. Go chasing after him. Amen? Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for a message, Lord, that comes from heaven to 12 boys. Thank you for a message that comes to this room this morning. I thank you for a message, Lord, that comes from the kingdom that Jesus is the Son of God and came to save the world. And I thank you for the ability to sacrifice and to serve and to let agape be made manifest in us that we can see you do mighty, mighty things. Let's all stand. You're here this morning, and I know it's tough to concentrate on what I'm saying when you can smell that grill going. But there's challenges in the world, challenges to sacrificial love. You're here this morning saying, I don't have it, but I want it. Say, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and came to save you, you will be born again. Holy Spirit will come and reside in you, and you will have the ability to love God and love the people around you. You'll be transformed in a moment. Lord, I believe that you sent Jesus for me. He came from heaven, died on a cross to set me free from sin, move me out of darkness into light. I can have new life, and I can be born again. That's you this morning. You're going to have a crazy week, but it gets better and better and better. Amen? Let's sing. You want to pray? Come on up. I'll pray with you. We'll have a little unity time.
Mm-hmm.